Our sermon text this morning is Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. Mark 16, 1 through 20. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at table. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Preserve us, O God, for in you we put our trust. You are our Lord, and our goodness is nothing apart from you. We delight in the company of your saints, and we pray that you multiply the sorrows of those who hasten after other gods. Maintain our lot, O Lord. Give us your counsel. As we set you always before us, we shall not be moved. Our flesh will rest in the hope that only you give, for you will not abandon us in Sheol because you did not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Show us now in your word, by your spirit, the path of life. Reveal to us the fullness of joy, for in your Son, Jesus Christ, at your right hand, are pleasures forevermore. We pray this in his name. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, if you're following along, you may count how many times I say Jesus and how many times I say King. Count how many times I say Jesus, how many times I say King, and I will give you a count after the service. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he is risen, for today is Resurrection Day. Today is Easter Sunday, which is our yearly opportunity to rejoice in the historic event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Christopher said earlier, the resurrection changed everything. The resurrection changed the world. The resurrection changed history. This is one reason why we celebrate Easter every single year. Frankly, this is why we worship every Sunday, the first day of the week. It is the day of resurrection. And we will do this again next Sunday and the Sunday after. And we will continue to do that until Jesus comes back. After Jesus rose from the dead, everything changed for the world and for God's people. Remember how we got here. Remember the history of the world. Remember the history, the path of Jesus Christ. Because the resurrection didn't happen in a vacuum. Holy Week, Holy Weekend didn't happen in a vacuum. The Son of God came for a reason. At Advent, we remembered his taking on of human flesh, the Son of God. We remember him coming first to his own, Israel. And Jesus revealed himself to the Jews and to Gentiles, performing mighty works and calling people to repentance. He preached the kingdom of God. He took on the devil in the wilderness and demons in warfare. This was the path of the Christ. And this is what we've been covering this year, the events in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. We left off last Lord's Day with Jesus' humble and triumphant entrance into Jerusalem at the beginning of his Passion Week. That's where we were last Lord's Day. So an opening question for you to consider. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem humble on a donkey, what was triumphant about that? If he was humble, if this was lowly Jesus going to Jerusalem, what was triumphant about his humble entrance? Jesus, the coming king, entered the city to conquer. He came to take down the temple in judgment and to rebuild it in himself. That's what he promised. Jesus, the humble king, also came to fight. He came to win the victory. This has been his path. And this has been Mark's message throughout his gospel account. He is portrayed by the Holy Spirit, he's portrayed Jesus as a conquering king. From Mark chapter 1, the very first verse of Mark, Mark writes, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Son of God in Scripture means ruler. Throughout the gospel, he's been revealed as the Son of David, which means king. Those are labels that were given to Jesus. And immediately throughout Mark's gospel, Jesus has been a king of action. The first Son of God, the first created Son of God, was Adam, who was given the world, promised to him. The Lord said to David in his covenant about his son Solomon that he would be his son. The Lord said to David, "I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men." Son of God, Son of David, that is who Jesus is. And throughout Mark's gospel, he's been following the path of King David. He's been keeping the messianic secret, telling people, "Don't tell others who I am." Very similar to David avoiding King Saul. Jesus kept himself away from the Jewish leadership for much of his ministry, not disclosing fully who he was. But despite that approach, he's still been engaged in warfare against Satan and against the demons. Jesus is the king and the strong right arm of God, as we confessed earlier in Exodus 15. He's brought the victory. And this last week we remembered his final path of kingship. His last week of his earthly life was to suffer and die. As he entered Jerusalem, no more messianic secret, no more hiding, concealing who he was. It is out in the open for all to see. And he set his face like flint. The battle was culminating. In Scripture, good kings put the people first. Good kings are ready and willing to die for the people. Boys and girls, on the battlefield, who went to fight Goliath? Was it King Saul, the giant of Israel? No, he was afraid. It was David. David was the true king. He went out. He was willing to fight. He was willing to die. And as Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem to fight, he took on the devil in the climax of their battle, preparing to die. The kingly warfare of David, fulfilled in Jesus, would be in his sacrificial death for peace. Brothers and sisters, we last left here on Friday evening our opportunity to commemorate the suffering and death of Jesus, even a death on the cross. Good Friday is our yearly occasion to remember this event with solemnity. The punishment of sin was put on Jesus for the sake of his mission for the Father, and the sake of our salvation. The punishment of sin was put on Jesus to glorify God and save us, save you from your sins. Remember the prophecy at Christmas. The angel said, "You shall name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So another question for you to consider. What has been your mood since Friday night? Even if you didn't go to a Good Friday service, you obviously remembered it was Good Friday. From Friday till now, what has been your mood? It's likely our exiting perspective of Good Friday that affects our mood, including yesterday. What Jesus accomplished on Good Friday is really important, brothers and sisters, really important to our approach this day, Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday. It's really important for understanding what the resurrection accomplished. Remember the last words of Jesus on the cross from Luke 24. Jesus said to the thief who put his trust in him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." To the thief on the cross, on Good Friday, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." From John's account, John 19, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. In fulfillment of the prophecies, to complete his mission, Jesus laid down his life. And in his death, the serpent bit the heel of the seed of the woman. From Genesis 3:15, "You shall bruise his heel." Jesus, the Son of God, breathed his last and died. Boys and girls, what did Jesus do in his death? What did he accomplish in his death? That was his victory over Satan. Hebrews 2, by death he defeated the one who had the power of death. So when do you think The serpent realized he had been duped. He knew his scriptures. He knew the Bible. He knew the prophecies. When did it dawn on the serpent, I've made a big mistake? Do you think when he took the sip of the sour wine and ended his Nazarite vow? Do you think it was when Jesus said, "It is finished"? Do you think it was in Mark 15 when the very first confession was made? Mark 15, verse 39. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." And the serpent knew he had been defeated. Jesus won multiple victories over the weekend. His death was a victory over the devil, and his resurrection was his victory over death and the grave, as we will hear shortly in 1 Corinthians 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These were Jesus' greatest acts, along with his incarnation, his most significant acts for humanity in history. And that's what made the tomb so alarming. That's why the women feared. I mean, there were angels. Angels in his birth and an angel at the tomb. His new birth from the ground. The Son of God entered creation and history, his mission to destroy the works of the devil. And it culminated in the cross. And the Father vindicated his faithfulness, his sacrifice, by raising him from the dead. Brothers and sisters, the devil has been defeated. Thanks be to God. The grave has no claim over Jesus, and the grave has no claim over the new humanity in Jesus Christ. That's you. That's why the women had no need to fear. He is risen. He finished the work. He defeated the enemies. No more fear of the devil. No more fear of dying for sin. And because the Son of God won these victories in human flesh, Jesus, the righteous King, now rules over creation. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Jesus came and spoke to the disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. In Jesus Christ, a human being reigns over earth. And we're still carrying out this great commission because of that reality, 2,000 years later. This is the gospel. This is what we hold so dear. The victory of King Jesus, the Son of God. Pilate ironically revealed that on the cross. John 19, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. It's a claim in the whole world. The chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews." But Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." A human judge unjustly condemned Jesus to die. Pilate had opportunity, had the authority to release him from an unjust sentence. But by God's plan, this human judge unjustly condemned Jesus because the first man, the first Adam, didn't want to be under the light and easy yoke of God in the garden. Adam rejected God's good and gracious justice, and all humanity fell in him. So Jesus stood before this unjust judgment for our sake, and he suffered the injustice. Adam's forfeiting of inheriting the whole world as God's created son was reversed in the eternal son's inheriting the nations through his death and resurrection. What Adam threw away, Jesus reclaimed. Psalm 2. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. This is the resurrection. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. He reclaimed it. He reclaimed it for humanity's sake. Adam gave it over. He submitted himself to the serpent. Jesus took it back. How, boys and girls? How did Jesus take it back? By stomping the head of the serpent in his resurrection. He did it for himself, for the new humanity. Jesus Christ accomplished the task for which he came. And that is why, brothers and sisters, the nations are called to sing to him, to praise him, all ye nations. Jesus purchased the world with his precious blood. Every king, every ruler, every nation, and their citizens are called to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Not just Israel, every single nation under heaven. And our task as the church of Jesus Christ, his new humanity, we are to disciple these nations. To bring them into submission. Gracious, glorious submission in the Lord Jesus. The nations already belong to Jesus. And that's why you are grieved by the rampant wickedness and degradation of culture. Because you know this nation belongs to Jesus. He died for it. He claimed it in his death and resurrection. This is not how it's supposed to be. And you know it. You hate what God hates. This is God's world. Jesus reigns, and all must bend the knee to him and put away wickedness. So we preach the gospel. We hold Bible studies. We evangelize unbelievers, and we call wayward Christians to repentance. And the Lord has promised to work through us to accomplish these kingdom tasks. When he gave up his spirit on the cross, and the Roman centurion gave that first confession, that was a foretaste of the gift of the Spirit at Pentecost. The nations were starting to come to Jesus. Truly, this was the Son of God. And the Spirit continues to bring that into greater fulfillment through space and time. Brothers and sisters, each one of us, the new humanity and the resurrected Christ, we are empowered by the Spirit to participate in this kingdom building. We worship the risen Lord every Lord's Day, the day of resurrection. We call the nations to submission through worship, prayer, and song. And this is for the oldest saints, the gray heads, whom God has promised to be with you throughout your days, all the way to the youngest, the mouths of babes and infants, calling him, praising him, silencing the foe and the avenger. All of us participate in this. And after Lord's Day worship, we go. Therefore, go. Jesus is King. Therefore, go. Carry out your dominion task, your creational, vocational task for Jesus Christ. Follow the new Adam in bringing the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. Each one of us, the baptized, the resurrected in Christ, those who have new life, carry out your kingdom building from Monday through Saturday for Jesus' sake. There is no faithful job that Christians do that is without kingdom purpose. You all serve the kingdom in your daily tasks. See the value in your daily vocational labors. You have new life for dominion. So live that new life you've graciously been given in Christ. You're not dead in your trespasses any longer. You're no longer enslaved to the devil. You have victory in Christ. Thanks be to God. Live like it. Don't fear the devil. He can't touch you. Don't fear death. Don't fear sickness. Don't fear anxiety. You belong to the resurrected one. Be strong in him and take your mission with Christ-like faithfulness. Don't just get saved and then wait to go to heaven. Serve the King of the universe. Brothers and sisters, God changed history in the resurrection. He changed the world and he changed you. Rejoice in this and praise him. And declare to all his merciful kindness and truth, which endures forever. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we, who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the same Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen.